Tonight I will preach to you from the book of Ruth. Ruth chapter 4, verses 13 through 21. Ruth chapter 4, verses 13 through 21. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And when he went into her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. Then the women said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord, who has not left you this day without a close relative, and may his name be famous in Israel, and may he be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you, who is better to you than seven sons, has borne him." Then Naomi took the child and laid him on her bosom and became a nurse to him. Also the neighbor women gave him a name, saying, "This is a son born to Naomi," and they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now this is the genealogy of Perez. Perez begot Hezron. Hezron begot Ram, and Ram begot Abinadab, and Abinadab begot Nashon, and Nashon begot Salmon, and Salmon begot Boaz, and Boaz begot Obed, Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David. Ruth 4:13-22. The title of my message to you tonight is, "The Bible is Not Ruthless." And when we think of ruthless, you could think of the word ruthless, which means having no pity or compassion. And when we read the Bible, we read a book that is full of pity and compassion. It's God's word to sinners, and it's filled with compassion to us in all the bad situations that our sin causes. But ruthless can also mean it doesn't have Ruth in it. It's Ruthless. It has no Ruth in it. Well, the Bible has a woman named Ruth in it. And I'm kind of joking here, but the Bible is not ruthless. That's a true fact. There's a humble woman, a gentle woman, a godly woman named Ruth in the Bible. When we read the book of Ruth, there are no dramatic miracles in this book. Ruth is a woman who endured trials, but stays faithful. And her God gives her, an ordinary woman, a very happy ending. And her story, much like, well, like you three women. She was a simple woman, but God blessed her. And I believe part of the message is that God uses people, not just Billy Graham and not just famous people that everybody hears of, but God uses people like Ruth. And Ruth happened to be famous because she got her name into the Bible. Well, what is special about Ruth? First, she stuck with Naomi amid trials. Chapter 1, verse 20. It says, "But she said to them, 'Do not call me Naomi, call me Mara, for Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me.'" Naomi, when we read in chapter 1 of the book of Ruth, is not a happy woman. As far as God's providence goes, sometimes he bounces us on his knees, but at other times we feel that we are under his foot. Ecclesiastes 7:14a says, "In the day of prosperity be joyful, but in the day of adversity consider, surely God has appointed the one as well as the other." And here Naomi recognizes that God has given her this sad time. Well, what was sad for Naomi? Well, in a sin-filled land, we should expect the worst. Verse 1 of the book of Ruth, it says, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. Now, we're not told exactly what time this was, but it was in the day when the judges ruled. And we read from Judges 17:6, it says, "In those days there was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in their own eyes." Meaning not everybody was following God, not everybody was following the Bible. There were very few people that were obedient. They all made up their own morality, and so a godly person was rare. And if you read the book of Judges, God regularly brought judgment on them in various ways, either from enemies attacking or from a famine like what's happening now. And we probably, if we went carefully through the book of Judges, could figure out at least some of the possible times that Ruth was, what it could have been her time, because there were famines in those times. The worst came to Naomi and Ruth and Ruth's sister, because in verse 6 it says, "Then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died." And so first Naomi's husband dies, and Naomi's two sons took wives. Mahlon, which means sickly, was married to Orpah, and Chilion, meaning pining, was married to Ruth. And so they married husbands. One was named Sickly, that was his name. Can you imagine marrying somebody that's named Sickly? You've got to expect he's not going to be well. And the other one was Pining, which pining means pretty much the same thing as sickly. And both of these men died, leaving Ruth and Orpah alone as young women. Now, worldly common sense would say that these young women should look for husbands in Moab, where they were from. And Naomi is ready to let them go. She was not a selfish woman. She didn't expect these women to stick by her just because she was in a bad situation. They were in a bad situation too, and she was ready to send them away where they would have their best possibilities of finding husbands. And we read this in verses 8 and 9 of chapter 1. It says, "And Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, 'Go return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest each in the house of her husband.' So she kissed them and lifted up, and they lifted up their voices and wept." These women all loved each other. They were all, and she, I believe Naomi, meant best for them to tell them to go back to Moab. She believed, and I believe it's true, the Lord could watch over them just as much in Moab as he could in Israel. And so she tells them to go. But Ruth, walking by faith and not by sight, unselfishly also sticks with her mother-in-law and God amidst the trials. We read later in chapter 1, it says, "But Ruth said, 'Entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go, and wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more so, if anything but death parts you and me.'" And so here we see Ruth is committed to stay with Naomi. Ruth is committed to Naomi's God. She's got to know Naomi enough. I believe Naomi was a good witness to Ruth, and Ruth sees her as a good person, even though now she's complaining and she's having a hard time. Ruth still believes the best about Naomi, and she's faithful to not only Naomi, but to God. And notice, this is noticed by God. It qualified Ruth for an honored place in Scripture. Obviously, it's her devotion here that puts her in this position. If she would have left, I doubt this book would have been written about her. She could have went, oh, just like with her sister. She might have been still well off. God may have still blessed her. She might have still got to heaven. But here she's in Scripture because she's devoted to God and she's devoted to Naomi. Jumping ahead to, she counted Boaz's kindness as God's smile. They were in a rough situation. They were in Moab at the time, but they went back to Israel. And there, chapter 2, it says, there was a relative of Naomi's husband, a man of great wealth, of the family of Elimelech. His name was Boaz. So Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, please let me go to the field and glean heads of grain after him in whose sight I may find favor. And she said to her, go, my daughter. She went to glean his field. What this means is she could take food, grain, that the harvesters dropped. And so as they're harvesting the field, and there was scripture instructed, you know, a harvester, if you drop something, you leave it. It's for the poor. If you slip and you drop, you don't go back and pick it up. That was known in Israel, and it seems to be known even farther. That was just the way they worked in those days. They would be harvesting the grain. But if they dropped something, people could go behind them and pick it up. And poor people would do that. They would go behind the harvesters and pick up things that were dropped. Now, Boaz had been told good things about Ruth and was determined to be a blessing to her. He was the one that owned the land. He was the rich person, and he decided to bless her. And it says in verses 11 and 12 of chapter 2, then Boaz answered and said to her, it has been fully reported to me all that you've done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you have left your father and your mother and the land of your birth, and have come to a people whom you did not know before. The Lord repay your work, and a full reward be given to you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge. And so this is a very encouraging thing he says to her. He's hoping that she will be fully rewarded. And in other parts of the book of Ruth, we're told that he tells some of his harvesters to intentionally drop some grain, not just accidentally, but make sure she gets a little extra here. And so she's ends up being a very successful gleaner. And so Ruth's response to him is humble and beautiful. She said, let me find favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants. She saw herself as different because she was from another country. She wasn't supposed to be there. And he had maidservants around that were his servants. But here, because he's a rich man, but she counts herself not even among the maidservants. But he's already, because of what he saw her doing, respecting her even above those other women. Ruth was seeing and treating Boaz with great respect as her superior. And she was happy and blessed because he was treating her like one of his own maidservants. Though, as he says, though she says, I am not like one of your maidservants. Like almost family rather than being a strange woman from a strange land. He was treating her well. And she was noticing that. When Ruth tells Naomi, Naomi also sees this as God's blessing. Remember chapter 1, Naomi is saying, don't call me Naomi, but call me Mara, which means bitter, because she was bitter. And she was seeing God as against her. But now she's seeing that things are changing. And in verses 19 through 23 in the book of Ruth of chapter 2, she says, and her mother-in-law said to her, where have you gleaned today? And where did you work? Blessed be the one who took notice of you. You know, she had been gleaning, and she must have brought back a whole bunch of grain. And her mother is smart enough. She knows this isn't ordinary gleaning. Somebody's been dropping extra for you because they had plenty. So she told her mother-in-law, with whom she had worked, and said, "The man's name whom I work today is Boaz." Then Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "Blessed be he of the Lord who has not forsaken his kindness to the living and the dead." And Naomi said to her, "This man is a relation of ours, one of our close relatives." Ruth the Moabite said, "He also said to me, 'You shall stay close by my young men until they have finished all my harvest.'" And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young women, and that people do not meet you in any other field." So she stayed close by the young men and young women of Boaz to glean until the end of the barley harvest and the wheat harvest, and she dwelt with their mother-in-law. And so what you see there is a description, not of 1 or 2 days, but probably a period of time during this harvest. And she was with close and gleaning and being blessed in this. Number 3, boldly, Ruth aims to marry Boaz. She's the one that proposes to him. According to Naomi's instruction, Ruth proposes marriage to Boaz. Chapter 3:6-9. So she went down to the threshing floor and did all according to all her mother-in-law instructed her. And after Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was cheerful, he went to lie down at the end of a heap of grain, and she came softly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. Now it happened at midnight that the man was startled and turned himself, and there a woman was lying at his feet. And he said, "Who are you?" So she answered, "I am Ruth, your maidservant. Take your maidservant under your wing, for you are a close relative." And when she says, "Take your maidservant under your wing," she is proposing to marry him. You don't just climb into somebody's bed, which he wasn't exactly in a bed, but he was sleeping, and it was nighttime. And she was at his feet, and this meant that she wanted to marry him. Not on her knees like men do today, but lying at his feet and expressing extreme humility. Though she was a Moabitess, now with help from Naomi, she counts herself, notice, not a Moabitess, but a close relative, because she was connected through marriage. She says, "Take your maidservant under your wing, for you are a close relative." At this point, it's Boaz's turn to be humble. Then he said, "Blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter, for you have shown more kindness at the end than at the beginning, in that you did not go after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you request. For all the people of my town know that you are a virtuous woman." And so look at how Boaz sees Ruth. It seems that Boaz is quite a bit older than Ruth. He calls her my daughter. And then he also mentions kindness to himself because she did not go after young men. Obviously, he's not a young man. Whether rich or poor, meaning supposedly Ruth probably could have married a younger man, even a rich young man, but she sought to be according to the man who had been kind to her, according to the one who was her close relative, at least as far as the law was concerned. She went there where she had experienced kindness. And what she says implies that he thought of her as a woman who could have had any man she wanted, and he is humbled that she chose him. Both of them are humbled by the other's love and goodness in bringing about the relationship. Boaz sees Ruth, in Ruth what Ruth maybe did not realize in herself, being humble herself, and that is, for all the people of my town know that you are a virtuous woman. Everybody saw Ruth the way Boaz was because she had been that way. She had gone with Naomi. She had supported her mother-in-law. She was there with God. And they could tell that she was a godly person. Point four. They get married, but there is more. You could say we've only just begun. Verse 13 of chapter 4. I'm skipping around. This is where I'm finally getting to the text. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And he went into her, and the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. Then the women said to Naomi, notice it doesn't say, and the women said to Ruth, it says the women said to Naomi, blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a close relative, and may his name be famous in Israel, and may he be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you, who is better to you than seven sons, has borne him. Then Naomi took the child and laid him on her bosom and became a nurse to him. Also, the neighbor women gave him a name, saying, this is a son born to Naomi, and they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now this is the genealogy of Perez. Perez begot Hezron. Hezron begot Ram. Ram begot Abinadab. Abinadab begot Nahshon. Nahshon begot Salmon. Salmon begot Boaz. And Boaz begot Obed. Obed begot Jesse. And Jesse begot David. Notice here, it says Naomi is blessed. Not just that Ruth is blessed. Ruth was blessed too, but Naomi was blessed. In the midst of trying times, God takes care of his people. And we see this happening with Naomi. She's an older woman. In the midst of her husband dying, her two sons dying, in the midst of a famine in the land, God has taken care of her and given her a daughter-in-law that loves her. Naomi is blessed by a gentle daughter-in-law, more than seven sons, according to Ruth 4:15. And Naomi is also blessed by a grandson named Obed. It says also the neighbor women gave him a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi. Now, I don't think this is a name that came right when he was born. I think this was a name that came as he grew older, as he grew up, and as Naomi grew older. They started calling him the son of Naomi, and they called him Obed, which means that's a nickname. That's not his real name. Obed is his nickname. And the reason for that is that the word Obed means servant. And as Obed grew from a little boy to a young boy, he always loved his grandmother, Naomi. I believe that's the case. And he took care of his grandmother when she was older and he was a young man. And not only did he take care of his mother, Ruth, but he took care of his grandmother. And so all the neighbors are saying, Naomi has a son because of the care he gives for her. And this servant heart of Obed, it makes him famous. And that's what the ladies prayed for. If you see it, it says, may he be famous in the land. It doesn't say, may Ruth be famous. It doesn't say, may Naomi be famous, or may Boaz be famous. Now, they're all in the book, so they're all famous now. They all got in the Bible. But Obed is famous, and what is he famous for? Well, he got this nickname, Obed, which means servant. He's famous for being a servant to Naomi for caring for her. And the idea is Naomi's servant, he loves Naomi like Ruth loved Naomi, made Naomi's age, old age, the time of her life. She was famous among her friends because she had such a grandson. Not only that, Moab begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David. And we all know who David was. David is the one that God chose to be king. Saul was the first king in Israel because the people had rejected God and wanted a king. But David was the king who was the man after God's own heart. And we read that in Acts 13, 22 and 23. It says, and when he had removed him, meaning when God removed Saul, he raised up for them David as king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. For this man's seed, according to promise, God raised up Israel a Savior, Jesus. And so Ruth had a child named Obed, and Obed had a grandchild named David, and David had a great son named Jesus. And so you see, Ruth is even in Jesus' line. David was a king who acknowledged not only Israel, but the nations as under God's rule and care. One example of this is Psalm 108, verses 1 through 4. A psalm of David. O God, my heart is steadfast. I will sing and give praise, even with my glory. Awake, lute and harp. I will awake in the dawn. I will praise you, O Lord, among the peoples. And I will sing your praises among the nations. When he says among the peoples, it's plural. He's not just saying among the people, Israel, but among the peoples, all the peoples of the earth. And when he says among the nations, he doubles up on that. And I believe David, as king, is remembering, he's knowing his own genealogy, which included a Moabitess, Ruth, somebody who was outside of Israel, in his ancestry. See, Ruth's walk by faith, not by sight, character, one she seems to pass to David. David also has this same kind of faith that would go with God and would stick with God in all circumstances, even in trying ones. Some trust in chariots, he says, and some in horses, but we will remember the Lord our God. We see Ruth as an example of a devotion to God and family, of humility and grace, of how to pick a husband, at least a second husband. She maybe didn't do so well the first time, but she learned from her mistakes. And of raising children. She raised her children to love grandma, or grandparents, you might say. We see Boaz as a type of Christ. He's a kinsman redeemer. He's a humble, loving husband. He had a son who provided, so he not only provided himself, but his son continued to provide, and a good, godly, moral man. And we see also the blessing of the neighbor, or the neighbor women on Naomi. In verse 4:14 it says, then the women said to Naomi, blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a close relative, and may his name be famous in Israel. Naomi's neighbors, they weren't jealous of Naomi because she was so blessed. They were happy with Naomi because she had such a blessing in her old age, as not just a son who loved her, but a grandson who continued to love her in her old age. I think part of the reason maybe that the grandson is mentioned more than Boaz is Boaz may have been the same age as Naomi. As far as we know, he was a lot older than Ruth. But there was a grandson that was a lot younger who was able to take care of her for the rest of her life. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this book and what it shows. And we thank you for families. We thank you for the way you work, sometimes in mysterious ways, sometimes in ways that we don't see. We thank you for those things that you do in providence that are not necessarily miraculous, but they're still beautiful and still powerful. And that's what the book of Ruth shows us, that we don't need to have tons of miracles around us, or we shouldn't need to have it to know that you are there and that you care for us and watch over us and that you provide for us. We thank you for those things that do help us to see these things. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we have one more song. Number 406. I have to turn this back on.
Different tune
than you know. Is this the tune with this music, or?
Yeah, it's the tune with this music. You can call it. Okay.
It sounds like you're singing the same tune, but just faster. a half a beat faster. Okay. Yeah. So I can't help it with the iPod. This was one that was hard to find too.
Yes.
So I like it though. It seems like the kind of song that you could take if you have your hymnal at home. You could put sing right before you go to bed. Yeah, it's good for ending. That's why I always, it's obviously ending the service song too, isn't it? At nighttime. But I think right now it's still light outside. It's getting lighter. But at first I had trouble with that song, and I'm liking it more now. It's hard. That's right. And maybe even some of it, our lives are getting close to the end too. Okay. Well, songs for next Sunday.
Five thirty-three.
What's that? I am thine, O Lord. I am thine, O Lord. How was he related to Hermine? Her brother. I think she told me that, and I might have even said it in my prayer, but I didn't remember it. Oh, okay. Did she have other brothers or sisters? I don't know. No, those were the only two brothers. Wow. Who called her? The sister called her?
Yes, she was in the form of one of her sisters.
Okay.
But this one who called her when you were there.
Uh-huh. Than the one that called earlier. Okay.
One twenty.
Okay. These are all your school songs? See, you were blessed with that. When I was going to school, they had already outlawed all that stuff. That was at the very beginning. And we got no prayer. We had no good things. The only thing close to prayer was not prayer at all, but one time we took a field trip to Fairfield, Iowa, for Maharishi Yogi and to learn how to meditate. And it was horrible. Om, om. You have to lose your mind. Nothing. I wasn't a Christian at the time. And so.
Teach me that way, O Lord.
606.
606,
right? Is it 686 or 606?
Okay. I said that I used to say that as a poem, but I didn't want to say it until when I got this book and I saw it.
Okay. So that's three so far.
101.
Oh, wow, that's a good one. That's a good one to start with. Three more.
Okay.
677? Yeah, I think you're right. Five twenty-nine, okay. I know it, yes. One more. And then I'm going to say the benediction.
Okay, what about 80?
80. We haven't sang that in a long time. Yeah, that was Ralph's song. Yes. Lord, with glowing heart, I'd praise Thee. See, there's certain songs that I remember them by number, like 111, and I connect that to Usadora, and 80 I connect with Ralph, and 500 I connect with Victor. So I remember them by certain people in the church who like these songs. So 111 is yours. For me. But that's one that I remember by you and by the author too, the story about the author. Do you remember that, Sonora? I told you before. Do you remember what the author was like? The author was a pastor. Who wrote This Is My Father's World. And he was also a very big man, like 6'9" and like 300 pounds, all muscle, big giant guy. And he wrote This Is My Father's World, which seems like a very gentle song. But somebody came to his church drunk one time and he threw the guy out the window. He literally threw him out the window. So. Okay. Well, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Okay.